Hello and welcome to Tuning the Bow, a podcast about discipling your kids, as you know, because that's what parents do, or at least they're supposed to do. My name is Matthew, and I'm here with my good friend Tim. Tim, how are things going?
Oh, it's good, man. Smoked some pork butts over the weekend, but unfortunately, I had to smoke them all overnight, so I got to be up every 40 minutes. But I am caught up on sleep now, and feel pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. What time did you get in the office this morning?
Yeah, so I slept in this morning because I was up and I only had 40 minutes of sleep from the night before. So I walked into the office this morning at 10:30.
Ooh, man.
That is 2 hours later than usual. Yeah, I've been working out in the mornings before work. So I'll actually get to the church. Our church has a gym. So I get here at about 7. And I woke up this morning. I say 7. I get here about 7:30. I woke up this morning at 7 o'clock is when my first alarm went off. I looked at the alarm and thought, ha, that's not happening today. And I went back to sleep because when you're on 40 minutes of sleep, 8 hours is not enough. But 10 hours was delightful.
Nice. Well, I mean, you're going to get a little bit of rest next week because it is going to be spring break.
Yeah, spring break's like, it's a weird thing in student ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of my students are going out of town on ski trips.
Yep.
I would love to do a ski trip for our youth group, but we have, during spring break, we have our family retreat. So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next week, I will be at our family retreat speaking there. I've got to prep those messages this week. But the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are like the quietest days ever in our office because the school that meets on our campus isn't here. Most people aren't coming in. Like, it's a great time to work that week.
Mm. You can just, you know, get that pot of coffee going and sit down and just hammer out a bunch of stuff. And then you look at the clock, it's like 3. It's like, well, I've done everything because I was so laser focused. Now what do I do?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. You realize, oh, man, people get in the way of me working quickly a lot. So,
because, I mean, honestly, if we're both honest, if we're not prepping for an event as youth ministers, you can get stuff done in a couple hours and go, oh, wow, now what do I do?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, you're hired to places and you're recommended by people because you work well. And if I can keep my office door locked and no one comes in, well, I can work pretty quickly. it's the people who come in to have 15-minute conversations that they take 30 minutes to do that really slow down the work of ministry at times.
Man, but gosh, I love those conversations. I don't know. I enjoy talking with other people about stuff, which is why I do podcasting.
Yeah, and I enjoy them too, but you know, every once in a while I go find one of the random rooms upstairs in our church, kind of lock myself in there and get some stuff done, or I just shut my blinds to my office so no one can see that I'm here.
I have a little light outside that's an on-air kind of radio thing. So if that is flipped on, then everybody knows, hey, Matt's working. So it's quite nice.
Man, that's a light that you don't have to change that bulb in a while, do you?
Mm-mm. I mean, I'm only up here, you know, in the office 3 days a week.
Yep. Yep. Well, you want to introduce our topic today?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, we talk about, you know, being in the office, and one of the reasons we're in the office is because we're, you know, doing lesson prep, and we use, you know, pretty much just one book for this lesson prep, and that's scripture. And a lot of times, you know, you'll encounter people on the street that's like, why do you only use the Bible? What's so special about the Bible? It contradicts itself. It's not reliable information. You hear a ton of stuff. And so that's one of the things we're going to address today. Because as a parent, some things you will encounter is when your kids get older and they begin to think for themselves, which it might be a scary thing for some kids, but as they begin to think for themselves, they'll ask you these hard questions of, why do you believe in the Bible? And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, and as we've you know, been talking about how do you talk to your kid about X, Y, and Z, you know, one of the things that as we talked about it, we realized is, you know, we're relying heavily on the Bible. Mm-hmm. Because we believe that, you know, the Bible is where we should go. But with that, we want to make sure that you as parents have the proper knowledge of why. We don't want you diving into the Bible because the two of us said you should. That's not a good enough reason. And so we're going to talk about basically the way today's going to go is we're going to talk about three specific beliefs that we have about the Bible. And then talk a little bit about specifically English translations of the Bible, give you some encouragement there on which ones we use. Mm-hmm. But the first thing we want to talk about, and when the question is, okay, why should I go to the Bible instead of my knowledge or, you know, my pastor, whatever? The reason that we say that is because the Bible is the inspired word of God. Mm-hmm. It's this belief of what we call inspiration. And what that means specifically is that the words of the Bible, as they were written down by Peter, by Paul, by Moses, by all those guys, the very words of the Bible are God's own words himself. Mm-hmm. That the Bible, every book of the Bible has two authors. It has the human author and it has the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the Bible is not just a good piece of wisdom written by men so that people may become wise, but it is truly God's very revealing of himself to us and a gift to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Bible talks about this in 2 Timothy 3. That's one of the main passages. There are many to discuss it. But it is that every single word of Scripture is breathed out by God. That's the word inspired, is inspired or breathed out by God. And therefore, it is directly from God himself. And that's really important as we begin talking about, you know, how we do discipleship, because we're trying to disciple kids to become more like God. Therefore, it would be wise for us to use his very words
mm-hmm.
in trying to make them more like God. But Matt, what do you have to say on Scripture being inspired?
Yeah, we can also look at, I mean, obviously, want to go ahead and put this out there for you. When you use the Bible to prove the Bible, some people will say that you are using circular logic. And that's simply not true. Although in the base definition, you kind of are, but the more you use Scripture, as we see in Hebrews 4, it is a double-edged sword that it is able to separate bone and marrow, and it also separates soul from spirit. It cuts through to the heart and gets to the core of our understanding. And so we don't use Scripture because we don't have anything else. We use Scripture because that's all we need. I mean, you can use apologetics and other things like that to prove God's existence. But when it comes down to the brass tacks of Christianity, you have to use Scripture. You can't prove God any other way. God has already revealed himself through Scripture. And so that's why we use it. And I want to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Tim and I had to memorize this verse for a class in college. And we'll do 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Above all, you know this, no prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So that's exactly what Tim was talking about just a second earlier, that there are two authors. There's the Holy Spirit, and then there are the people. The Holy Spirit worked through the authors to write this down, but he didn't give each author word for word, this is what you should write. The wonderful thing is we see the different styles, the different personalities of these authors come out in their writing. And it's that those original writings that they wrote down that was either sent to churches to be used as circular letters or that were even written down as prophecies. Those individual people were used by the Spirit, and they were used by the Spirit in their talents, in their speech, in everything to use God's word and bring it to the people. And so that's what's super cool about scripture, is that, you know, this verse says that men spoke from God as they were carried along. The Holy Spirit was in every step of the process. There wasn't a moment of writing down each of the 66 books of the Bible. The Holy Spirit was involved in every single part of it. In the grabbing of the pen and the starting, you know, writing down everything, the Holy Spirit was involved. Thinking about what to write down, the Holy Spirit was involved. Even getting the letter to the church, the Holy Spirit was involved in that. And it's incredible, because after all these years, you know, from the book of Revelation being written around 90 AD, you know, you have all these, you know, 1,910 years or so later, at this very moment, we've got everything we need. And the Holy Spirit has been working through this process. And I don't know, I just, things like that really just make me go, man, isn't God cool? That he was thinking about us and working through all these things just to get us to this moment right here.
Yeah. And in addition, the last word kind of on inspiration, just to make very clear, when we say that the Bible is inspired and the words of scripture are inspired, we are talking about the words given to the original authors.
Yes.
We are not talking about any one English translation. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about translations here in just a minute. But we're talking about the words that Paul writes down, talking mm-hmm. about those in the Hebrew, in the Koine Greek. Those words, that's what we mean by fully inspired. We don't want anyone thinking that we say one specific one is inspired. Like I said, in a minute, we'll talk about translations and tell you kind of why we go certain directions on them. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about inspiration, we are talking about those original words, those original manuscripts. But based on the inspiration of scripture, then we have a second fundamental belief of why we should use the Bible in discipleship, and that is that the Bible is then inerrant. Mm-hmm. Because if the words are God's own words, God does not make mistakes. He does not falter. He cannot make mistakes. He cannot do anything that is a mistake, and therefore his words are perfect, they are true, and there is no error in them whatsoever. And again, I'll remind you, when we talk about that, we are talking about the original words that God said. If some random guy takes the scriptures and says, I'm going to translate them for myself, he can add as many errors as he wants to. And that's why we say there are certain translations that we like and don't, is that there are some that we think have erred. We won't talk about those because that's a waste of time. But there are definitely translations throughout time that have erred. They can be as simple as, you know, translations you may know of, and there can be others that are a Sunday school teacher who thinks he's got something down. But when we talk about inerrancy, we mean that the words that the people wrote, those original manuscripts, are without error. And so that then leads us to say, if the Bible is God's words and it's without error, then man, that's a book that we should use. That gets us to our last big word here, and then I'm going to let Matt talk on both of these because I think they all flow together, and that is that the Bible is authoritative. So we believe the Bible is inspired by God. We believe it's inerrant, and we believe it's authoritative, and authoritative means that it holds the authority to speak on our lives. So technically, God could have made something that was both fully inspired by him and perfect without error, but had nothing to do with our lives. I don't know why God would make that, but again, I also don't know why God made mosquitoes. So, you know, he could do that, but we believe that because of the foundation of those two things and then the very words of the Bible themselves, it is clearly able to speak to our lives, and it can direct our lives. And as 2 Timothy 3 at the very end of it would say, is not only does it exist as the very words of God, but it is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, and it has the purpose that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every single good work. Mm-hmm. So it has the authority to do that. Matt, what are your thoughts on the inerrancy and authority of the Bible?
Yeah, so one thing that I always think about when we talk about, you know, especially authority, and inerrancy, if you dig deep enough into scripture, you will see that a lot of people will just use, you know, one verse that they pull out of context to show how the Bible says, well, it, you know, says it, this goes against what you believe. But then you also have, you know, two to three other verses that are speaking to that same issue. And it gives it new light and new meaning. And so inerrancy, when you actually sit down and do scripture, I don't know how many stories are out there of people who were atheists at one point to where they sat down to prove the Bible wrong. And by the, you know, they get about halfway through and they, you know, believe in God at that point. I mean, it's you can Google search atheist to Christianity conversion. And you'll find so many things about why the Bible is so integral in that. But when it comes to authority, the way I think of it is when you read a parenting book that was published in 1950 versus a parenting book that is published, you know, let's say within the last 5 years, the way the parenting was in the 50s is not the way parenting is normally carried out today, because they speak on cultural issues. And they use cultural language that either is not really used as much anymore, or in some cases has a completely different meaning. And so when we look at authority, we can look at the scriptures, we can look at, you know, so many different Bible verses, and we can see, oh my gosh, there's no way that this is happening because I'm dealing with the same thing. For instance, we can look at Psalm 119, which is all about how the Lord uses scripture to help us and, you know, improve our lives. And you, I mean, just starting off with Psalm 119:1, how happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk according to the Lord's instruction. Happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all their heart. I mean, there is this joy that comes with serving the Lord. And when we obey these things in scripture, we can look at verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. I have sought you with all my heart, and do not let me wander from your commandments, for I have treasured your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Lord, you are blessed. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I proclaim all the judgments from your mouth. There's this joy and this happiness that comes from someone who is under the authority of scripture, in the way that we can't use, you know, dated parenting books. We can use scripture, even though it is almost, you know, in some parts over, you know, 4,000-5,000 years old, some of these writings, and we can still profit from it. Why is it? Because of 2 Peter chapter 1. Some the men were carried by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been in work ever since he was even recognized by the Bible. The Holy Spirit has been working through the prophets, through, you know, the different writers in the Old Testament, even into the New Testament. Why is the Bible authoritative? Because when you read it and you study it, you see how much it pertains to today. It is a timeless book. Even the people who were listening to the words of Jesus when he was on this earth and he was teaching, they were like, where does this man get his authority? And he said it multiple times, I only speak what the Father tells me. God is timeless. Therefore, what he tells us is timeless. And so in the same way we don't look at a parenting book from the 1950s, the same way we look at the parenting book today, we should also not look at the parenting book today as we do for scripture, because the things we do today, they are also going to be outdated, and maybe even within the next 5 years, because that's how fast society progresses sometimes. But when we look at scripture, it's going to stand the test of time. In the same reason, you know, we had the reformers who wrote on scripture, we can read some of the things they wrote in the 1500s, and we can think, wow, I've been dealing with that same thing. And how can a book written in the 1500s speak to us today? It's because they were so engrossed in scripture that it came through their writing. And when we are under the authority of Scripture, whatever we do, it's going to be timeless. And I don't know. I don't know about you, Tim, but every time I find something in Scripture that speaks to what I need to do, it always amazes me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, just to make sure to properly synthesize exactly what you're saying, we want to make sure that everyone knows that, you know, when we say that the Bible has inerrancy and it has authority and it is inspired, that means the Bible has, you know, passages of the Bible have a meaning. Mm-hmm. That's an objective meaning that both God and the writer had to give to their original audience. But what you're talking about specifically, Matt, that the Bible, its ability to be a living word, mm-hmm. is that it can contextualize itself to so many different areas.
Right.
You know, we are firm believers that a passage like Romans 3:23 means that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single person has sinned against God. But the Bible has a unique ability to contextualize itself that that can be a comfort to those who are worried that they're the only person that sins, and that can also be a condemnation to those who find that they're perfect. And the Bible just has a unique ability to do that, that frankly no other book has. But that leads us, I think, finally to a discussion about the translations of the Bible. We've talked it, all these things are true about the original manuscript, but Matt, most of our viewers, I don't think, speak and read Hebrew and Greek. If they do, I don't know why they're listening to us, by all means, but most people don't know that. And so we're left with then obviously needing a translation of the Bible. Mm-hmm. As I said previously, we're not going to dive into a bunch of bad translations because, you know, this podcast is A, good vibes. We don't need to be grumpy at other people, but B, there's a lot of, I think, frivolous discussion there. What we'll say about translations is this. Obviously, as years have gone by, we've gotten better at translating because people are really honing in and becoming experts in those original languages, which is very helpful. It means that our translations can be more accurate, but there is always kind of a spectrum that translations are on. And on one side is very literal. That's a word for word translation. That would be like if you've ever seen an interlinear Bible, which is a Bible which has the Hebrew and Greek, and then it has the exact translations of the words underneath it. That'd be a very literal translation. And on the other side, there's what we call a dynamic equivalent. And what that it means is that that is a translation which says, okay, this is what this passage means. Now I'm going to say what it means. Dynamic equivalents are frequently easier to read because they're telling you it in English. Whereas literal translations are often, they feel a bit more clunky as you read them because they're not as concerned with how the English would be. And so what Matt and I's beliefs are, at least I'll say this is Matt and I's belief. Matt, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But we're of the belief that a lot of times, especially when we deal with kids and we're talking about your children, some of the best translations to start them on, as they're very new to reading and the language of English itself, are dynamic equivalents because they're going to be the easier ones to read. They're still fully God's word. There's nothing that they're compromising on that would be trouble to us, but they're very easy to read. So the best example of one of these is the NIV. The NIV is a fantastic version of a dynamic equivalent. I would also say the NLT is there as well. They're both dynamic equivalents. They get the exact meaning of the passage in a way that's easy to read. And I don't know about you, Matt, but I was actually saved by someone reading an NIV Bible because I was a kid. And there's no issue. Like, I would have no issue with an NIV Bible. My boys will have an NIV, I'm sure, when they get older. But we would also say that we want people to move to more literal translations. Mm-hmm. We want you to be able to get just the very best translations possible. And so I would say with that, the best translations that I think are still very readable are the ESV, the English Standard Version, and the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. But Matt, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, the dynamic equivalent, that was the first, the NIV was the first Bible I got when I was first saved. At my church, whenever someone in the kids ministry was saved, we gave them, you know, one of those like precious moments Bibles where it has the pictures and it's got all the stuff in between. But it was an NIV Bible, and I got it after I was baptized. There's a cool thing. I was able to write down, you know, the day I was saved, when I was baptized, so I could look back at that and go, you know, use it as a remembrance or as a reminder that this is when I gave my life to Christ. But at the same time, you know, as we get older, there are some things with a dynamic translation that you kind of miss some of the deeper things in Scripture. Which is why we both want, you know, as you get older, we get something like an ESV, the NASB, the New North American Standard Bible. That's also a very as close to the original language as you can get. So it's like Tim said, a lot of their translation is a little bit clunky, and it's, you know, can be a little difficult to read along with. But that one, and then the CSB, which is what, you know, I've been reading out of through this podcast. That's something that gives you, this is as close to the original language as we can get to where it still makes sense grammatically in English. Because obviously if you've ever had to translate something or you've seen someone translate, sometimes one word in, one language can translate to like three words in English. And then sometimes one word in English translates to like, you know, half of a word in another language, especially Greek. Greek is a very cool language. If anything, I would advise you to try to learn Koine Greek if you have time, which a lot of you as parents probably don't. I mean, honestly, Tim and I barely have time to really get back into it. But with these Bibles we've kind of suggested, that's as close to the original languages you can get. And, you know, you also don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand the Bible. There are plenty of scholars who have actually done the heavy lifting for you. And there are tons of resources through, you know, all sorts of libraries that you can go to and see what do these trusted biblical Christian scholars, because there are also a lot of scholars that aren't Christian that try to speak to the Bible. And obviously, if they don't have the Holy Spirit, they're not going to fully understand it. But when you have biblical scholars who are believers, who love the Lord, they're going to break down Scripture so that you are able to understand it at a much deeper level. But sometimes, again, you don't have that time. So hopefully these couple things we've talked about will get you kind of started in the right direction of understanding why is it that we only talk about the Bible when we do certain things.
One last tiny word on this. So if you were asking us, hey, what Bible should my kid be reading? I would tell you, if they're a newer believer or a younger child, specifically like kindergarten through fifth grade, I would say the NIV is a great place to have them be at. But as they develop in their student ministry era, and as they develop as believers, we would really encourage you to have them over in an ESV and or a CSB. I think they'll do really well. They'll be able to read those well. And by the way, parents, let me just give you the encouragement. If you want your kids to be better readers, then read it with them. Mm-hmm. That's always the best. But as some simple resources for you all, you know, it's easy on an episode like this to just give you the Bible. I will tell you flat out that the beliefs that Matt and I hold are both in faith and in like faith with a document called the Baptist Faith and Message. Mm-hmm. You can find that at bfm.sbc.net/bfm2000. And you can read that, and that will actually give you all of the scriptures, more than Matt and I are able to go over in a quick podcast. And then I would tell you that my favorite Bible right now to give to students to help them not only in understanding a version that's good for them is one that I think I talked about in our Christmas episode about gifts, and that is the Seven Arrows Bible. It's a CSB version of the Bible. So again, I think it's right where students need to be at in reading comprehension. And it also instructs and gives them some key questions to ask so that they can understand what the meaning of Scripture is on their own. And so that would be my top one for students. My favorite, by the way, for kiddos that that are a little bit better at reading is the Explorer Bible, which is a CSB Bible as well. But I'll tell you, when I was growing up, my parents got me an NIV version of the 252 Bible, which was a boys' Bible, and it had a lot of different inserts on what it meant to be a young man of God. So I used that, and then I used, Matt, I'll date myself here, I used the Adventures in Odyssey Bible, and I'm actually sitting here in my office. And I can see it right here. It was NKJV, Adventures in Odyssey. And I remember it has the it has comic book inserts in it. And boy, oh boy, have I listened to many a sermon while reading those. So those would be my resources. Matt, do you have anything off the top of your head?
Yeah, just off the top of my head. Again, I'll plug this. This is in the first episode, and it's read this first, A Simple Guide to Getting the Most from the Bible by Gary Miller. Again, there it also goes into a little bit more kind of arguments of why people don't like the Bible or don't read the Bible. It does that in the first chapter. So that's, again, another helpful thing for you to have, especially written down so that you can kind of go back to it. So that's Read This First by Gary Miller. And yeah, so I'll just put that one back in the description in case you forgot about it. Here's your reminder that that's an excellent book, especially if you don't have a lot of time on your hand. I have at our church, we have a church intern who is a freshman in college, and he's also our quote unquote youth intern, which means he just helps out with youth. And so I meet with him every Wednesday, and I actually had him read through the book, and he was able to understand it just fine. We had some conversations about it. So a freshman in college who's going for computer science can understand it. I believe anyone can. So Tim, do you have any ending thoughts?
Yeah. My last thought would be very simply to you parents. Hey, the Bible is a gift. So open that gift up with your family and use it. And upon this discussion and understanding, now we'll go back to our How to Talk About Blank series, but we wanted to make sure you had the proper foundation of why we're using the Bible to answer these things. So, love y'all.
All right. Well, again, that's all the time we have, so we will see y'all in the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Bye.